Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network.
In the future, none of you are heroes.
You're legends.
Get driven, stay driven.
The following wrestling broadcast is being performed by highly trained professional athletes. It is not recommended that their actions be imitated in any form whatsoever in the home. This is the LAW Retro Wrestling Show with your host, the West Coast Kid, HW Star, and wrestling's only masked cowboy, the Maverick.
Howdy, folks, and welcome to Liberty All-Star Wrestling Retro Wrestling Radio number 6. I am the comic book cowboy known as the Maverick, and I am being joined by my new co-host here on LAW Retro Wrestling Radio. Please welcome to the show the one, the only superhero of Liberty All-Star Wrestling, Mr. Super Cody himself. Welcome back, my friend.
Well, it's great to be back, and hello, citizens of Radioland.
All right, we're back with a brand new era. It seems our third one in just a handful of shows here on Liberty All-Star Wrestling. We've got some LAW news tonight, and unfortunately, our show starts on a relatively somber note. We'd like to pay our respects and condolences to the families of the late, great George the Animal Steele, who just very recently passed away.
Yes. Our deepest condolences. A true legend, my friend. True legend.
Absolutely. And we're going to dedicate the retro portion of our program, the second half of our program, to talking about the career of George the Animal Steele, an amazing career he had, one of the most colorful characters in all of wrestling. And we'll be talking about him a little bit later. Sad, but we'll be able to have some great memories of the animal.
Oh, definitely. I mean, he was one of the greatest, and you know, he was in there with all the greats, and just a career that goes back many, many years.
Absolutely. So, but let's get into it. Liberty All-Star Wrestling News. So, the big news, of course, Liberty All-Star Wrestling Homecoming is coming Saturday, April 1st at 6:30 p.m. to the Briarcliff Fire Company number 75. I'm pretty psyched about it. Are you psyched about it?
I am. I can't wait to see all the great citizens and fans of Liberty All-Star Wrestling. You know, it's been many years since I've graced the ring, and I just can't wait.
And announced just last week, Super Cody will be back in some capacity. Not exactly telling us what he's up to, but it's all right to play your cards close to the vest, as it was. Two matches are confirmed and locked, and we'll be covering them in depth in the weeks to come, but we're going to have a Liberty All-Star Wrestling Championship match as the newly crowned champion, John the Creature Cannon, who will no doubtedly be joined by Mr. Jester, will take on the number one contender, Jimmy Jannetty, the LAW legend.
Well, I hope Mr. Jannetty is well aware of what he's getting himself into. I mean, those two are evil personified, and I don't think that they're going to play fair.
No, it's almost, but, you know, Jimmy Jannetty is no stranger himself to twisting the rules when need be to get by. He is what we would call a wily veteran, and he's been around a really long time, and I don't know that there's much that those two can bring to the table that Mr. Jannetty hasn't seen.
Oh, I certainly hope so, but you never know with this John Cannon. I mean, I compare him to some of the great villains of all time.
Well, he's definitely up there, and he's proved to be quite a handful, and he is the current LAW champion, and that will make his first title defense April 1st.
Yeah, and if anyone saw him, what he did, there is no level that he will not stoop to.
No, absolutely not. And in the coming weeks, we're going to have the champ on the air to talk about his big title win and his first title defense as we get closer and closer to the big event. The other big match that has already been announced due to shenanigans that took place at the Liberty Brawl. Or I'm sorry, the Law Bowl. I keep getting my shows mixed up. And I was on both of them. At the Law Bowl, Elite International, Mr. Ooh La La, Big Ben, and Wyndham James Winthorpe III conspired to steal the titles in the Law Bowl match itself. But due to losing a special challenge match that took place, special six-man challenge match that took place after that match, they have to put those titles on the line against Norm the Barfly and myself, the TV Generation reunited. We're now classic TV. We should be on Nick at Night. But we get the title shot April 1st in Briarcliff, and I'm going to talk a lot about it in the weeks and months to come.
Well, I hope you're prepared, my friend. You know, you got a little taste of the villainy that is Elite International, and I am hoping that you and my friend Norm the Barfly are 100% prepared, because you never know what those sneaky people are going to be up to.
Well, that's just it. This is very, very personal. Not just because the LAW Tag Team Championships are on the line. That makes it huge. But going back to the Liberty Brawl, I had gotten my first shot at the LAW Championship in many, many years by qualifying. I beat Winthorpe to get in to the Liberty Brawl match itself. And those two chuckleheads came up behind me and attacked me before I got in the ring, cost me my chance at the LAW Championship. Spring ahead all the way to the Law Bowl. And those two, it was supposed to be a two-on-two encounter. They brought a third man in, shenanigans ensued, and they robbed me of a second opportunity to win championships in Liberty All-Star Wrestling. So it's very, very personal. I want to take away from them what they took away from me, and that's the tag team championships. Norm and I have talked about it. We are planning about it. We're in the gym training. We are ready to go. This isn't just a whim. We're ready to take those belts back regardless of which combination they bring to the ring in Briarcliff.
Well, see, that's the other thing about those two, or three, I should say. They are very sneaky. They like to change everything up. You know, since Mr. Wyndham Winthorpe III has come to LAW, boy, he has had a grudge against you for something that he claims that you've done to him, even though you probably never met him before the Liberty Brawl. And he is just a mean, mean little man.
Well, you know, absolutely. He hates that I am the personification of America, as he called it on the air. And he doesn't like America, but he does enjoy American money, which I find completely ironic. And he doesn't like the American way of life. He sits around and spouts off about it all the time. And, you know, he got beat 1-2-3, and he couldn't handle it. And he reacted the way he did, and now he's got a group behind him, but I got backup too. I got the Barfly, and we're going to see what happens on April 1st.
I heard he likes to eat fish chips.
I'm sorry?
Fish chips. He likes fish chips.
Fish? Sure. I'm sure he does.
Yeah.
Sure, it's not the only
thing
he likes to
eat. Yeah, but you can't trust a person that eats stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Seems logical. So starting next week, we're going to be announcing many of the other LAW wrestling stars who will be on the show. We are going to have as many of them as we can come in and be guests here on the show so you can get to know them and get their opinions and their hype, as it was, leading into LAW Homecoming. Tickets for the event are just $12 and will benefit the Briarcliff Fire Company number 75. And this is the beginning of a wonderful relationship with the Briarcliff Fire Company, and we have a lot of things planned between now and the end of the year, and it all starts in April. No fooling.
It's going to be so much fun. I flew by the new building, and it is beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. Brand new firehouse. They're literally building it as we speak. They've been posting pictures of it. It's huge. We're going to be able to put a lot of people in there. We're going to have a lot of great events coming in. They're planning a lot of great events. Liberty All-Star Wrestling is just part of the community outreach that they're going to do. And we're going to be partnered up with them for several events through the course of the year. And you're going to have to come out April 1st to find out how big of a thing we got going on with these guys. I'm really excited about it. I can't wait to get out there and meet them. They've already talked. They want the cowboy out there, and out there I shall be. So I'm very excited about that.
I can't wait. And, you know, like you said, it's for a good cause, and we get to go with our friends, the heroes that are the volunteer firefighters of Briarcliff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Volunteer firefighters are some of the biggest local heroes you can get. They're not getting paid. I mean, it's the guys who get paid, they have a tough job, and I will never deny it. But these guys do it because they care. They're out there. They love it. They're doing what they can for the community. You know, it's great to have a relationship, and Liberty All-Star Wrestling is building relationships with both the, you know, local fire companies in the area and the police, and we're going to be doing a lot of great community outreach stuff, and I'm proud to be a part of the company, and I'm proud to be one of the faces, as you were, to the outreach program. So I'm very excited about all that, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So make sure you get your tickets. We're going to be hyping the show. You're going to see us all over the place, I should say, in the weeks and months to come as we get closer and closer to April 1st. And like I said, next week we're going to have brand new names of guys coming home, the Liberty All-Star Wrestling Homecoming, a title that means a lot in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, and it's good. And this is the first time in a long time that both Liberty titles have been defended on one show. And you're going to get your money's worth.
Yeah, absolutely. Since Liberty has been reborn, it's been a process of setting the table and getting new champions in place. And now both the LAW heavyweight and tag team championships are crowned. So it's the first defense, and it's going to be the new champion's first defense too, ironically. So it's a brand new day. Two title matches, fun for the whole family. We've got a big announcement in the coming weeks about interesting ways to make the event even more family friendly on top of all the great night of action and a great list of guys who are chomping at the bit. Every day we're hearing more and more people want to be a part of this show.
I can't wait.
So that about covers what we've got going on in Liberty All-Star Wrestling. Just a short bit of news this week. As we get closer and closer to the show, we'll have a lot more going on. We're going to take our commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to get into the life and legacy of George the Animal Steele. We'll be back in about 3 minutes and 17 seconds.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes' native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults, and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence, or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromholmes.
For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin in the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause, www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your girlfriend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well, then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
Howdy, heroes, and welcome back to Liberty All-Star Wrestling, LAW Retro Wrestling Radio, here on the Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network. I'm getting that helicopter noise again in my headset, so I'm not sure. Hopefully you're not hearing that, folks, but having a little bit of static popping in and out of my ear all night. We are back, and we are here for the retro wrestling portion of our program. And unfortunately, tonight we are dedicating the rest of the program to the life and legacy of George the Animal Steel. George the Animal Steel passed away yesterday. Very sad news coming out of the wrestling world, and we decided to honor George by dedicating the rest of the program to his career and his wild antics.
Yeah, and, you know, when you talk about a true legend, I mean, he has to be on the top of everyone's list. And he had so many memorable matches, and he was such a memorable character.
Yeah, he absolutely was. He was one of those guys in an era of such giant personalities. He stood out as being something complete and totally different, and always was captivated by George. I remember the first time I saw him was probably live, and I remember sitting there, and my father was like, "You got to see this guy. He eats the turnbuckles." He was in one of the early matches at the Spectrum, back in Spectrum Wrestling. And he's like, "This guy eats it." And I was like, "I'm sorry, he does what?" And he came out, and I don't even remember much about the match, but I remember him just destroying the turnbuckle, and he was wild and all over the place, and really just captivated me at the time. And the more I got to see him all through the rock and wrestling era and the WrestleMania era, as it was, being one of the pioneers of that era, the feud with Macho and his battles with many of the other monsters. I remember him and Sika going at it, and him and Kamala, you know, the storyline with George the Animal, with Captain Lou Albano, just a lot of crazy stuff. And to be able to stand out that unique in that era just goes to show you that it really was something special.
It was. And, you know, he started out his career as a villain and then ended it as a hero, which is interesting because he was one of probably the only people ever in wrestling to just change over once.
Yeah, and it was a big changeover. Like, when I went back and studied George, as I studied so many guys, when I really got into wrestling, and I got to see him and Bruno and some of those early stuff that he would do, he was a vicious, vicious man. And he was able to change with the times. The turn from villain to hero, he was able to become a much more lovable, fun character. And of course, I remember Mine. I thought Mine was hilarious, the plush toy they would bring to the ring. And but yeah, he was frightening in those early days with his foreign object that he used quite frequently.
Now, I'm going to give you a little trivia, and this may come as a surprise to you, but do you know that one of the only championships he ever won was the Detroit version of the NWA Tag Team Champion? But he was never a champion in the World Wrestling Federation, the NWA, or AWA.
Well, I knew he never had a title in any of the big three, as it were. He was one of those attractions. You know, he would come in and do special things, but he would always chase the champion. I remember him battling both Bruno and Hulk for the big belt, and then he, obviously the Macho Man feud. But no, I didn't realize he ever – I'm sure he's had more than his fair share of regional titles, but
– just two titles.
As far as – wow. Yeah, and he's one of those guys that really didn't need him. You know, defending a title with a crazy animal guy like George, you know, would be difficult. So I think it was it's a shame that he never had any kind of title run to his credit, but for sure, it didn't hurt him at all.
No, it did not. I mean, he was one of them guys, like you said, when he had that run with the Macho Man, and you almost banked that he was going to become the Intercontinental Champion at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And you were disappointed when he did not.
Absolutely. The Macho Man feud in itself with him courting both Elizabeth and the belt at the same time, and he ended up with neither, which was just heartbreaking, but... you got to give it to Savage, too, because he played the jealous lunatic so well. He was much more of an animal than George was. And the intensity as that he brought to that feud. I remember tying him in the ropes, beating him with the flowers that he brought Elizabeth. And then,
Like I said, you were so rooting for him through that whole thing. And
yeah.
It was almost heartbreaking when he didn't win.
No, he didn't win. He lost the WrestleMania 2 match? With, yeah.
Was it 2?
Yeah, because he came in 3.
Okay.
Right? Because 3 was Steamboat.
That's right.
I thought their high-profile match was WrestleMania 2.
I'm going to probably say you're right on that one.
It could be wrong.
Because, the next year was...
with Steamboat, and he had the... that was when George finally got his comeuppance. That's how George got his heat back.
Yes, you were correct. It was number two. Because that was
okay,
one of the New York matches.
Right. That was the big official blow off to the feud, but George got revenge a year later when he came out and helped Ricky the Dragon Steamboat win the title. Hello?
Yeah. Yes, no, I'm agreeing with you on that one, sir.
Okay, well, you can't shake your head. We're on the radio.
I'm learning that, citizen.
Yeah, clearly.
So what was your favorite George the Animal Steel match or moment?
You know what always stuck out is hilarious to me? And he did a lot of crazy things. And the Macho Steel and Elizabeth and the Saturday Night main event match. They put her up like in a lifeguard chair at one point. Oh, I'm sorry, when they had a match on Saturday Night main event. That was probably the high point of his career. But one of the things that stands out for me, and this is, I always gravitate to the quirky and the weird stuff that happened to wrestling, but one of my favorite George the Animal Steel things ever was the first wrestling album.
The Captain Lou song.
The Captain Lou song. Yeah. Such a weird thing to have Captain Lou rapping with George the Animal Steel playing second on that. It was such an absurd thing. But I always think, and it was literally the worst song on the entire album. And that's saying something. But it always struck me as hilarious.
Now, I'll tell you, when I first saw him, he was actually going against Bruno Sammartino.
Yeah.
And I remember a lot of people were concerned for Bruno's safety because at the time, people actually believed he was a wild man.
Well, and rightfully so. I mean, the green tongue, the hairy back, the wild mannerisms, the facial expressions, he was amazing as that character.
Yeah, he was. And back then, there was nobody like that. And then when he started going after the turnbuckles and then using it as a foreign object, oh, it was unbelievable. I mean, as a young hero, he had me scared.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely understand. He was a frightening, frightening man. And I always wonder, it's one of those things, urban legends, and you hear things back, because there was no internet, and the sheets, as they referred to them, weren't as prevalent, but you always heard the stories whenever you go to the arena about, you know, when George would disappear for long stretches of time, and that he was a college professor, and always that visual of George the Animal Steel all dressed up like a college professor always humored me.
And what's funny is it that was true. He was a school teacher.
Yeah, absolutely.
And could you imagine that though? A couple months earlier, you're watching him fight through a turnbuckle, and then the next you're turning in your term paper.
Right. I don't know. Did he ever actually really like work and then wrestle during the summer, or was that just an urban legend? I don't know.
Back in the early days, yes, he would just come around in the summertime.
Okay. I never actually really investigated that, but I remember hearing the stories, and it used to crack me up.
Well, he was also, not only was he a teacher, but he was the amateur wrestling coach and a football coach.
Okay.
So
there you go.
Come school year, he did have a full schedule. And it was funny because you always wonder, because like I said, I remember him back from the early days, and he would always disappear, and then he would always come back. And, you know, no one really questioned it because, you know, it was George the Animal Steel. And then years later, you come to find out that he was actually shaping young minds.
All right. Yeah, that's a frightening thought.
So do you think when someone held up their hand, he went, "You, hey"?
I wonder if you'd be able to, you know, you're just kind of sitting there looking at him, you're like, what's going on there? That guy looks like George the Animal Steel. Can you imagine? That guy looks like George the Animal Steel, and it actually turned out to be him.
And if you also remember, he got rave reviews for his film debut in Ed Wood.
Yeah, that's true. He did a really, really great job in that movie.
Yeah,
playing another
Tor Johnson.
Right. So he got to dabble in Hollywood and... I absolutely loved his flying hammer lock. I thought that was a great finish.
I am surprised no one ever brought that back.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, no one's even attempted it, using even as a setup move.
Yes, when he came back on, he was managed by Fred Blassie, if I'm not mistaken, and he was feuding with Bob Backlund. And it was the chicken wing versus the flying hammerlock. And if I'm not mistaken, that's how he back when started using the chicken wing. I think that was when it was what it was invented for.
Oh, I don't have to go back and research, but it's quite possible. It makes sense. He was big for the atomic spine buster.
Yes.
For a long time, but having that submission hold certainly, and that's one of, if not my favorite, the cross face chicken wing.
Yep, only Backlund can do it though.
Exactly.
Now, if you go, you know, Steel. It was funny, too, because a lot of people also, even though he did wrestle in some national wrestling, he was primarily a WWF wrestler.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's where he was well known. He didn't venture out into AWA and NWA much. He did a small thing towards the end of his career. I remember him showing up one night against, Jeff. He was doing something with Jeff Jarrett, wasn't he? I vaguely remember him when Jeff Jarrett had to beat a bunch of legends.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He was in that match.
Yeah. I think it was about the only time. Well, of course, he was also in the Oddities. He came out as part of that. He made a few appearances. He was one of the ring guy. I don't think he actually got and wrestled, but... So he still managed to show up from time to time, and he had a very lengthy run on the indies afterwards. He was a big attraction for a long time in the indies after he left in the 90s. I never got to share a locker room with him, but I've heard a lot of crazy stories about George.
Well, I had the pleasure of meeting him, and to be honest with you, he was one of the nicest, kindest, gentlest men you ever wanted to meet. It just reminded you of somebody's grandfather sitting there.
And at that age, he probably was somebody's grandfather.
I don't know if you remember, but one of his last appearances was actually on TNA Wrestling, where he was he was one of the groomsmen for... He was doing the Randy Savage impersonation.
Oh,
Jay Lethal. Yeah, he was marrying one of the girls. And I just remember because it was one of the funniest things because the groomsmen were George the Animal Steel, Coco Beware, Kamala, and Jake the Snake Roberts.
Sounds like a party.
That's some fine groomsmen there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, better than the groomsmen I had in my wedding.
Oh, they look like a shady bunch.
They were indeed.
But, you know, unfortunately, George, over the last few years, had a lot of health issues. And, you know, that led to a lot of kidney problems. Unfortunately, I don't know what he went into the hospital for or hospice. Because that wasn't revealed.
Yeah, there's things on the internet, but the official cause, I don't believe, has been released. There, a lot of people are saying kidney failure, but I don't know that there's been an official release from his family. So, you know. I know he had Crohn's disease, but he actually battled through that. And it went into remission, so I don't think it was that.
No, and it was a shame because Bob Backlund was one of the first to break the news, and the way he did it was kind of heartbroken because he called the house to talk to George, and that's when George's wife informed him that he probably wasn't coming home this time.
Yeah, I read that post, and I hate reading stuff like that, and but at the same time, because so many crazy things pop up on the internet, I also didn't buy into it a lot. So it was really saddened to hear that it was true. You know, you hear something like that and you hope, you know, like there was another apparent fake death rumor this week. And you hear stuff like this all the time where people.
I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah, and I don't want to say it because there's conflicting reports now that, you know, it didn't happen. So I don't want to say one way or the other until there's some kind of official and feed into that.
Well,
but, you know.
USA actually published it today that it was true.
Yeah, but where do they get it from? Because they've been known to take somebody else's thing and post it and go, oh, crap. So.
Well, it was also in the New York Post.
Isn't that a tabloid?
The New York Post? Depends on what your political affiliation is. But again, yeah, like you said, you don't know if that one's 100% true, so we won't even get into that.
Yeah. And, of course, when it was announced that George the Animal Steel had passed away, a lot of the wrestlers and superstars who knew him and commented on him, Triple H, George Steel was one-of-a-kind performer who could make fans smile or boo, and his competitors laugh or cry. I worked with him a lot when I first got to WWE and was able to learn so much. My condolences to his family. The King, who had a handful of matches with the Janimal for sure, one of the greatest characters in WWE history, had the honor of working with George Steele on many occasions. Rest in peace, the Animal. William Regal, very sad, a very nice man. Curtis Axel. Heard about George the Animal Steel today. As a kid, he made my tongue turn green just like his. JBL. I had heard so many different stories, Kool-Aid or something he would eat or, you know, different things like that. But hopefully that's a secret that nobody else manages to finagle.
Well, I tell you, the couple shows that I was on with him, he showed up with it already green.
Well, maybe.
So
it was already
right before the matches.
Maybe it was just naturally green, and he really was an animal.
Or he ate frogs.
Yeah, maybe. JBL got the privilege of traveling the world with George the Animal Steel and enjoyed every minute of it. I would pay to see that. Brian James, sorry to hear the passing of George the Animal Steel. He was an agent producer when I first came to the WWE, and he was always very kind. I didn't realize he had worked as a producer. Clearly, he wasn't one.
Remember?
Clearly, he wasn't one that came to the ring often.
I think he did a couple times, and I vaguely remember it, but I think he was out there a couple of times.
Yeah, I don't remember that. Taz, I had the pleasure of meeting the great George the Animal Steel, not just as a kind man, but as a true icon of our industry. Gail Kim, I just read the sad news that George the Animal Steel passed away. Thank you for giving me so many wonderful childhood memories. Rest in peace, with lots of emojis. Condolences go out to Jim Myers and his family. George the Animal Steel was a fantastic guy and first-class gentleman. From the Honky Tonk Man, someone who was in the ring a lot with George the Animal Steel.
Yeah, and that's the one thing you notice. You don't hear anything bad, and you never heard anything bad about him. And, I mean, he was married to the same woman since the 1950s.
Yeah, and that in itself is a huge thing in the wrestling world. Sheiky Baby, rest in peace. All caps, of course. Rest in peace, George the Animal Steel. You were always the intelligent brother. I love you. A much more coherent million-dollar man, Ted DiBiase. The wrestling world lost one of the best today, and I lost a good friend. Rest in peace, George the Animal Steel. My prayers are with his family. Good old JR, sad to hear the passing of old friend and fellow WWE Hall of Famer, George the Animal Steel, at age 79. And the last one they posted was from Bobby Roode. George the Animal Steel was one of the most unique and unforgettable characters ever in our business. No falsehoods there, but yeah. And like you're saying, George is one of those guys you never heard a bad thing about. He was, you know, didn't stir the pot, didn't cause a lot of controversy, and you know, I guess because he never was in the title picture and he never was, you know what I mean?
No, he knew what he was supposed to do. He came in and did it and never thought twice about it.
Yeah.
You know, good for him. He left a lasting legacy on the world of professional wrestling.
Yeah, he absolutely did. I expect the WWE will have some sort of tribute to him on Monday Night Raw. They usually do something, either a 10-bell salute or a little vignette. Hopefully it's something nice, because it's always a shame when one of the legends passed by. And George was brought a lot of joy and fear, depending on when you got to know him, through the wrestling world.
That he did. I was fortunate enough to see him boot through both phases. A lot of good memories.
Indeed.
And one thing he didn't get a lot of credit for, he was strong. I mean, he used to pick up some of these guys like with one arm, and like it was nothing.
Yeah, well, he was a barrel of a man, just, you know, thick all around. And it wasn't just the hair.
The Gorilla Monsoon is the only guy that took off his sweater and had another one underneath.
It was just... You know, he had the perfect monster. I mean, he literally looked like an animal. You know, the bald head, the hairy back, green tongue, the eyebrows, the face, the posture, the build. You know, he truly took with what he had and made the most of it. And it was just an outstanding presentation. And when he would just throw his arms in the air and chase guys around the ring, I used to always crack up.
and then the signature ripping open of the turnbuckle.
Absolutely. Stuffing it in the other opponent's face.
Yeah, and I always found it funny that he found the one turnbuckle that had actual stuffing instead of foam.
Well, you're not supposed to talk about that.
Well, maybe it was because he sniffed it out.
Exactly. Exactly. Don't kill the illusion, man.
I'm sorry, sir.
He really ate those turnbuckles.
Oh, he did. He enjoyed them. Well, hopefully there's a huge amount of turnbuckles waiting upstairs for him.
Absolutely. George the Animal Steel, like I said, our condolences to his family and his passing. 79 years old, a true legend of the wrestling business. Left us this week here at Retro Wrestling Radio and Liberty All-Star Wrestling. We wanted to take the opportunity to give the man a tribute. And a lot of great memories.
That there was.
It is time for the shameless plug portion of our program.
Okay. Plug away.
Let's start with Totally Driven Entertainment and Radio presents a night of stripped down rock and roll. March 3rd with Mach 22 and Rob Carlisle of The Compulsions and Dan Parcells, an acoustic show put on by us, Totally Driven Entertainment. For information about the show, Friday, March 3rd at 8:30 p.m. at the Tusk, 430 South Street, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. You can check out the Totally Driven Entertainment Facebook and website for all the information on that great show. Are you a fan of the rock and roll?
I actually am a fan of Mach 22. They're very good. It's an old, they play an old 80s style of rock. Very good.
There you go. Never actually heard them, but sounds like it's going to be a good show. I know they're very excited about it. The tickets are going fast, so make sure you get yours and check out Totally Driven for all the information about that event.
And what other events are there?
Well, just so happens, since we're plugging stuff, I said this was a shameless plug, come see me tomorrow night at the Comic Universe store in Folsom, Pennsylvania.
One of the oldest comic book stores in the area.
Celebrating 38 years in the comic business. This one, I have been involved with the Comic Universe for many years now. I have been the special guest auctioneer. Special guest auctioneer for many years now, and it is one of my favorite things to do every year. We have a lot of fun, so many great deals, a really lively, entertaining crowd. There's always a surprise. There's always a twist. And, of course, the mystery box, which is the big real star of the show. They always put up a mystery box, and the mystery box is worth a lot of money, and there's a lot of great surprises in it. There's always something, and there's always a twist now as we get every year, and there's a twist this year that's very interesting.
Ooh.
And I can't give you more because you have to be there.
Maybe I'll have to fly in and see what that is.
There you go. The auction starts around 5:30, so get there early. Take advantage of the huge 38th anniversary sale that's taking place. Then stick around. Come see me. I will have membership cards for my other radio program, Mavericks Comic Roundup, heard also here on the Totally Driven Radio Network. So you can win some prizes on that show as well.
Sounds like fun.
Oh, yeah. I'm having a lot of fun. A lot of fun doing the comic book stuff.
Well, how can you not? Heroes, villains. That's a fun little show you have there on Sunday mornings.
Well, thank you. I have fun doing it. I got a, me and the posse come in. It's always a good time. You've been on the show a few times.
Yeah. I enjoy it. Always talking some good wrestling. I mean, oh, comic books.
Yeah, we talk good wrestling.
My show's confused.
No, it's sometimes it's tough to keep them. I got to make sure I pick up the right show notes before I settle in.
And next week's match is Batman. Oop, never mind.
Yeah, right? Wrong one. So, and of course, the big plug, Saturday, April 1st, 6:30 bell time. Liberty All-Star Wrestling presents Homecoming at the Briarcliff Fire Company, number 75. Tickets $12. The on sale date will be announced. Are we on sale yet? I believe the on sale date is coming very soon. It can be purchased.
Tickets actually advance tickets can be purchased at libertyallstarwrestling.com. If you click on the events and link page, there is a PayPal link so you can pay by credit card.
There you go. Tickets on sale now. That's our big Liberty news. Get them while they're hot. Last time we had a huge sellout crowd. It was a fun, raucous event. I was just watching some footage from the last show. I haven't had a chance to sit down and watch the whole thing, but that was a wild crowd. They were into the whole night.
It was
a lot of fun. And if you come out to Homecoming, hopefully you'll have just as good a time.
Oh, you'll have a better time.
Oh, Super Cody's promising a better time.
That's
two
right.
Two championship matches are guaranteed. LAW Championship, newly crowned champion John Cannon versus the LAW legend Jimmy Jannetty, and TV Generation will challenge the new LAW Tag Team Champions Elite International. Some grouping of two from that group. And of course, the return of Super Cody.
I cannot wait. I have my cape in the dry cleaners right now, so I can fly high when I hit Briarcliff.
Here you go, getting a jump on things. And that's about all we have for this week, fans. Make sure to check us out on Facebook and Instagram, as well as our website for all the late breaking news. And come back next week as we will have more information and the beginning of the homecoming reveals start next week. I'm excited to find out who I'll be sharing a locker room with, I think.
That, as am I.
Always a risky proposition. And of course, a little later in the week, we'll announce who our guest is, but it's going to be awesome as we get closer and closer to our homecoming and the beginning of an awesome, awesome relationship with the Briarcliff Fire Company.
It will be fun, my friend.
All right, folks, I hope to see you tomorrow at the Comic Universe in Folsom, comicuniverse.net, if you need to find your way to that event. If I don't see you then, hopefully I will talk to you on Sunday, Mavericks Comic Roundup, here on the Totally Driven Entertainment Network. Make sure you tune in to that show, this show, and all the other shows on the network, totallydriventv.com, to find out all of our great shows and when they air.
And you may want to announce what time the auction is tomorrow.
I covered that earlier. It starts at 5:30.
Okay. Well, someone may have just tuned in.
All right. They missed it all if you just tuned in. If you're just tuning in, you missed the whole show.
So go back and
until
listen
next...
twice.
There you go. Fortunately, it is available on demand. So, that's it for this week. I am the Maverick, and you are?
The Unbreakable Super Cody.
Oh, my. The Unbreakable Super Cody. He's got himself a new adjective. And until next week, happy trails.
Happy trails, friends.